Thoughts on Nahum. Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Disaster. Now, to get the force of this, it needs to be read aloud. Woe to the city of blood, full of lies, full of plunder, never without victims. The crack of whips, the clatter of wheels, galloping horses, and jolting chariots. Charging cavalry, flashing swords, glittering spears, many casualties, piles of dead, and so it goes on. What is the point? These are short, punchy sentences, but they're not even sentences, and some of them don't have a subject, verb, and everything else all tied up properly. It's just punchy phrases, and they're short. And they come, as you read them, as they're written, as they come off the page, they're full of power and punch and bustle and hustle. And you can hear it, you can feel it. It's a literary device to convey the unrest, the motion, the disaster of it all, the sheer force of it all, full of lies, full of this and that and the other, full of plunder, never without victims, a crack of whips, a clatter of chariots and wheels and galloping horses, jolting chariots. You can hear it, you can feel it, the clinking of the army armor, the rattle of the wheels, the horses neighing, the leather, the chains, it's all bashing about there and clattering. And the impression of these galloping horses, its pace. You're swept off your feet. It's swift. The fact that it's not complete sentences. It's not a long, slow, drifting, gentle, sleepy kind of... It's punchy. Galloping horses, jolting chariots. They're full of lies, full of plunder. So it goes on and on. Fear. Turmoil. Desperation. Panic. Graphic. Dramatic. Terrible. Pain, grief, these are words that spring to mind. This is the purpose of this kind of writing. It is to arouse this tension, this motion within the heart. It's to make us feel this pressure and this life that's going on, this agony, this pain, this suffering, this fear of what might come next. Yeah, and so on. And it's all explained, all because of the wanton lust of the harlot, alluring the mistress of sorceries who enslave nations by her prostitution and peoples by her witchcraft. That's God summing up through the prophet of what Nineveh was, a wanton, lustful harlot, mistress, in slavery, nations delivered into prostitution and witchcraft. You see, it's a terrible picture, and God is wreaking vengeance upon this people because of their pride, their bragging, their boasting, their abuse of people. I believe it's literal here, but I believe it's also figurative, spiritual. I believe it may be figurative, literal aspects of this catalogue of sins, but it's certainly spiritually misleading and bewitching the people and bringing the nations down into terror. Well, my friend, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. The bigger is their fall. And this is a great superpower. Boasting, bragging, and God has reduced her. And of course, the old application comes. I've made it before and I'll make it again. This is not just for Nineveh, Sennacherib, and for Assyria, back in those days. It was, it literally happened, yes. But my friend, be warned, this is the kind of reckoning that we have to face. It won't always go on in peace and quiet as we think now, plenty and prosperity. The reckoning day is coming, and then, my friend, when the deluge comes, when God comes in judgment through Christ, then we should be swept off our feet, and this kind of pressure will grow within us. Be ready for that day. You know what it is. Flee to Christ now and trust him. Call upon him. shelter in his wounded side. There is no other shelter, no other refuge. Take refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. We who have fled for refuge to Jesus, trust in his precious blood and his righteousness alone. I plead with you, and do it now.